Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Wagner down the middle, scores! First career goal, Austin Wagner. Here's Loft looking for his first, scores! Matt Loft, first NHL goal, and the Kings have the lead. What's Loft got to do with it?
And welcome to Crayon Conversations. I am joined today by Anthony from Die by the Blade, our fellow sister SVN blog covering all things Buffalo Sabres. I don't know who the Buffalo are. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin. I'm very excited to be here, and especially after our awesome Canadian Thanksgiving win today.
Oh, are you in Canada?
We are not, but I guess so. Buffalo's so close to Canada that every year we have a home game on Canadian Thanksgiving that starts at 3 o'clock that no one locally can attend. But we have so many fans in Southern Ontario who make the trip. So it actually fills up pretty easily regardless.
Nice. Well, since the Buffalo Sabres did win today, let's start with that. So how did they look today, in your opinion?
They look good. I mean, Ralph Kruger, give him a lot of credit because he's kind of returning this year with a lot of the same faces. Granted, they've made some pretty substantial changes on the blue line, but he's implemented a system and really maximized the talent and kind of specialization of all of his lines. And he's doing a really nice job to start. I'm a little bit jaded because last year we had that 10-game winning streak that went massively awry as the season went on. So starting the season 5-0-1 is really, really cool. I've got tempered realistic expectations, but hey, I'm having a good time.
That's an interesting point because one thing is that the Sabres look really, really good. They look like they've filled most of their holes. I think the only big question is in net. I mean, the Sabres are carrying three goalies. So who's the starter and why three goalies?
Well, so the starter right now, and we've kind of got like a 1A, 1B situation with Carter Hutton and Linus Allmark. So I would say Hutton is still our starter. He had a fantastic game today. He had his actually first shutout as a Sabre. He didn't have any last year. And Allmark had a phenomenal game against Florida last Friday. I think he saved 97.3% of his saves. So, I mean, fantastic. But the third goalie is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So his whole deal is he's injured. He's on IR right now, and they want him – perceivably, they want him rehabbing in Buffalo and not necessarily in Rochester. But once he's fully healthy, they'll send him down and he'll serve as either the starter or backup with the Amerks.
Oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense because I know Arizona was carrying three goalies to start the year, but that's because they were trying mm-hmm. to slowly get Antti Raanta back to full speed without trying to put too much pressure on him. So I was like, right. I don't know anybody else is really carrying three goalies for something kind of that ultra specific. So it was interesting to see it on the roster.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's strictly an injury thing. He had off-season surgery on his hip. Had he started the season completely healthy, he'd have began right in Rochester, most likely. So yeah, I'm guessing it's just everyone's kind of speculating that it's just that they want him around the Buffalo team doctors as he's rehabbing, which makes total sense. But to your initial question, yeah, Carter Hutton and Linus Allmark, I'm expecting kind of like a 50-32-ish kind of split this year between the two of them, but that could obviously change if one of them gets hot or kind of, you know, really takes the reins.
who do you expect to really take that 50 game mark?
I think it'll be Hutton. He's 34 years old. He's the veteran presence. I mean, goalies take longer to cook, so to speak. So Allmark being 25, 26 years old isn't such a huge sticking point. I mean, last year was his first full season in the NHL, and he had some growing pains, but he still has potential. He still flashes brilliance. I mean, he'll put together 2-3 games in a row where he's over 95%, but then he does the same thing the other way, where he'll do 2-3 games where he's under 85. So it's consistency with him. The talent is certainly there, and his ceiling is very high. But Allmark gives you a little bit more, or I'm sorry, Hutton, beg your pardon, gives you a little bit more of that consistency. And he doesn't put together as just many stinkers, right? He doesn't have those games where he's saving 80% and losing you the game, right? It's just kind of that veteran presence he brings where he never gets too high or low, so to speak. But again, I would not be surprised at all if Allmark gets hot and kind of takes the job. But if you're asking me as of today, I think that Hutton's going to be your 1A pretty much for the whole year.
Okay. So I know it's only been 6 games, but, you know, as I said earlier, the Sabres do look really good. They look really solid. I mean, is it okay to call them a for sure thing?
Absolutely not. and that's coming from someone who's, and I only laugh because I'm so jaded. I mean, we hold the longest playoff drought in the NHL right now.
Oh.
So I mean, man, we could start the year 20-0-1 and I'd still be nervous. But no, they do look a lot better. And I think a lot of that has started on the back end, because that's where they made the big renovations, right? They added Henry Jokiharu when they traded Alex Nylander to Chicago 1-for-1. They added Colin Miller when they gave Vegas a second and, I believe, a third round pick in 2021 for his services. And at the trade deadline last year, they added Brandon Montour from the Ducks, who is currently injured, but he'll help contribute to that as well. So they've done a really nice job of revamping that blue line. Rasmus Dahlin is obviously the real deal. I mean, his upward trajectory is sky high. He's tied for the team lead, I want to say, in points. Maybe Eichel kind of surpassed him today. I haven't looked since today's game, but he's playing really, really well. So I think that they've really been able to orchestrate zone exits a lot better and facilitate the offensive rush for the forwards, who largely are pretty much the same group of guys from last year, save for, you know, Victor Olofsson, who graduated from the AHL, and Marcus Johansson, who was a free agent signing kind of late in the game in July. But he's been fantastic too. But really, I think the whole thing has been the defense and just kind of the renovation that's been made on that back end. They're allowing fewer high danger chances while also commissioning zone exits and maintaining offensive pressure to a greater extent. So I think hat off to Jason Botterill. I mean, he kind of took this one step at a time and started with the blue line, and it's paying dividends early.
Yeah, they definitely, I mean, just even watching the Sabres, they look fun and they look like they're having fun. And I guess that's always kind of the key, right? Is the guys themselves have to look like they're enjoying the game. It can't be a chore.
Yeah, for sure. I think of Jeff Skinner, who during the 10 game win streak, I mean, it looked like that dude just had a smile plastered on his face the entire time last year. And then when they started losing, his whole thing was just kind of meh. You know, he had that RBF going on. So you're right, though. They look like they're having fun. The power play is really, really exciting, with Olofsson just bringing an absolute cannon on that right side. He's been a breath of fresh air in that regard. Everything looks better. I mean, they're playing really well, and Kruger seems to, you know, have his plan kind of set in stone at the moment. But he's flexible, too. And, you know, some of the adjustments he makes in games haven't been the most popular. You know, I think against Florida, he sat Rasmus Dahlin for the last 8 to 10 minutes of the period just to try and preserve a lead, you know, putting his more defensively sound guys back there, but which was a little head scratching because Dahlin is probably your best all around asset on that blue line. But again, overall, it's really hard to complain with anything he's done. I mean, team's 5-0-1, they haven't lost in regulation yet. And they've started a lot hotter than pretty much anyone anticipated.
That's definitely for sure. I mean, I think there were still a lot of questions about Buffalo after last year. And I mean, I guess it's fair to say that every time you come into a new season, of course, it's a blank slate. Yeah, but there are still some, I don't know, doubts or whatever about the Sabres, because let's just put it this way. the Sabres in the spring, they don't always look that great.
No, that is 100% the case, and I would argue early winter, but I think December is when really the downward spiral started. I think it was after the 10-game streak. If you had extrapolated their record after that throughout an entire season, they would have been either just as bad or maybe slightly worse than the Senators were last season. So they really, really plummeted. So again, that's why I kind of chuckled at the, you know, question of are they a sure thing, because we've seen before. I think they metrically at their highest last year, they had something like a 94% chance of qualifying for the playoffs and absolutely just fell on their face in magnificent fashion. So I'm going to take the wins as they come and be really excited. And if it's still going on in late February, then I'll start, you know, putting the optimism hat on.
Weren't some key guys injured like late in the season last year?
A couple guys, you know, overall last season, the Sabres were one of the healthier teams in the league. But yeah, I think toward the end of the year, they lost a couple people, but nothing to that should have really derailed them at all to the extent that they did. I mean, on the blue line especially, they were extremely healthy. I mean, they got a full season out of Zach Bogosian for the first time since he was a Winnipeg Jet. So, yeah, overall, the medical staff or the conditioning staff, I guess I should say, did a really good job, and the players did a great job of staying on the ice. But yeah, we're hoping for that same fortune again.
Well, fingers crossed for you. Although Brandon Montour is already starting the year off on IR.
Yeah. he had off-season surgery, too. It was kind of like the theme of the off-season. Him, Lawrence Pilot, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen all had surgeries in the off-season.
Well, hopefully that means good things for the Sabres down the stretch. I mean, the fans have suffered long enough.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Yes, we have. And it's our 50th season, so that'd be nice to kind of change the tides, so to speak.
Oh, it's Sabres 50. So Sabres and Vancouver are both celebrating their 50th anniversaries this year.
Yeah. Brothers in expansion and brothers in suffering, as neither of us have a Stanley Cup at the moment.
At the moment. But you never know if that can change. I mean, you got Jack Eichel.
You never know. Maybe they'll see each other this year.
Who knows? That would be the craziest thing. I think people would...
That'd be amazing.
People would just start screaming, you know, conspiracy theories from the top of every building, from the biggest mountain in Buffalo. They'll be like... No, it's not possible that these two seasons celebrating their 50th anniversaries go from terrible to Stanley Cup finalists at once. I don't know. It would be funny, though.
It would be like when the Harbaugh brothers met in the Super Bowl in like 2012 or whatever with Baltimore and San Fran.
Yes. Oh, let's not revisit that game. That was an awful game. Okay. Speaking of the blue line, because we had talked about that a little bit, old friend Colin Miller, I call him old friend, even though he never really played for the Kings, but he was drafted into LA system before they traded him to Boston for Milan Lucic in a trade that was spectacularly bad that everybody saw coming from 100 miles away, except Dean Lombardi. Anyway, he's really known for being more of like an offensive guy, really utilizing his speed, and kind of, at least when he was here and briefly in Boston, he had a few lapses in his defensive game. Do you think he's fitting in so far with the Sabres?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, analytically, Colin Miller is a very... across the board consensus net positive impact on defense, right? And he's really done a great job of contributing on that second power play for the Sabres so far. He's laying the body a little bit. He's doing a great job in the defensive zone. He's paired with Rasmus Dahlin, which pretty much anyone who you pair with Dahlin is going to look perhaps, you know, better than they are. But even last year in Vegas, though he was, you know, on the third pairing taking easier competition minutes, let's say, he's really done a great job of adjusting in Buffalo to eating more minutes and playing a little bit more of a responsible role in the D zone. So yeah, early returns on him are absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's nice to hear. I kind of miss him. I was really pissed off when the Kings traded him. I was like, no! It was funny because at the time, it didn't look like he had a shot at cracking LA's roster, because at the time they were insanely deep on defense, and it was just like he had too many holes in his game when he was 22 years old. But 5 years changes quite a bit of things.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's really come into his own, and I think playing in that up-tempo kind of analytically focused, let's say, Vegas system under Gallant, I mean, he did a great job there, and he was just kind of a victim of a cap game and a numbers game over there, so the Sabres kind of were able to capitalize on Vegas needing to get rid of a body, so they really got him at an awesome price in that trade, and yeah, they're reaping the benefits for sure.
And a lot of Kings fans were really familiar with Zach Bogosian, but only in the sense that in the draft, it came down to Bogosian and Doughty. And this is still, it's funny to me because it's still one of the like hot button topics in LA, because everybody still, I don't know why, but people love to rehash that draft. So Doughty went number two, and Bogosian, I think, went number three or four overall. Healthy season. Did it really make a huge difference for the Sabres?
No. So Zach Bogosian is an okay defenseman when he's totally healthy, right? And I have to wonder a little bit how those injuries he's had throughout his career have kind of even affected what a healthy Zach Bogosian even is at this point. You know what I mean? Just how much that's kind of deteriorated his overall just composition as a human being. He's fine. I mean, when he's healthy, he's a decent third pairing defenseman, in my opinion. But if anyone wants to debate who's better between Bogosian or Doughty, I'll have that debate with them. I mean, that would be absolutely just insane to take the Bogosian side, in my opinion. I mean, the health issues aside, I mean, Drew Doughty, in my opinion, is clearly the better defenseman.
It's just, I mean, you never know what you're going to get with somebody who's 18 years old. So, I mean, it's just kind of funny, right, to me.
Yeah, I mean, Bogosian does some nice things offensively, and don't get me wrong. I mean, early in his career, he had a ton of promise, but again, I still wonder just what exactly does a healthy Bogosian mean? Does it mean he's just playing through the ailments that are still nagging him, or what? Because he's not an old guy. I think he's only 28, but he definitely has the impact, let's say, of like a 36-year-old defenseman.
Oh, poor Bogosian. I mean, it just is. Seeing his face when he was, you know, 18 years old at the draft has always kind of stuck in my mind. It's always, it's so hard to kind of crush somebody's dream.
In that super cool powder blue Atlanta Thrashers jersey.
All right, so the Sabres are coming to town on Thursday. I think up until last year, the Sabres hadn't won at Staples Center in like almost, well, Staples Center celebrating its 20th anniversary. So I don't think they'd ever won at Staples Center. Or they hadn't won in, like, well over a decade. So, Sabres, much improved. What do you think we're going to see on Thursday?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, this we were talking about, we have an event that we attend with the BTB podcast. It's the Buffalo Pod-a-thon, and we, you know, we had it this past weekend, and we kind of talked about, we had a little roundtable discussion as to what would be the Sabres' first big test, you know, of the season, because they've played some backup goalies. They played a couple teams who haven't gotten off to very good starts and are, you know, maybe looking like paper tigers a little bit. And my answer was this West Coast road trip. I mean, it's going to be, I think, very telling. You're playing three teams who are, you know, they're not bad. They're you know, two of them, I think, are actually quite good. So, against LA specifically, I want to see consistency. I want the same things that we've been seeing on the back end to continue. I want to see them kind of continue to focus on maintaining possession, which has been kind of the hallmark of Kruger's system, if you will, to this point. But you know, no, I mean, NHL is a league of parity, right? And every game is a toss up. The worst team can beat the best team. So it doesn't really matter how hot the Sabres are. They got to come ready to play. And the same way it's tough for Western Conference teams to come out east and put together a strong trip, it's the same deal vice versa. So I think this trip will be very telling of where the Sabres stand at this point and what they need to improve on.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you really never know who's going to have a great night and who's going to have a really crappy night. And the best teams can look like the worst teams, and you never know when.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was looking at Sean Shapiro's charts earlier, and I found something really interesting. The Buffalo Sabres are leading the Atlantic Division in fancy stats. Like, you know, like shots for, shots against, and just expected goals, like all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Who do you think is really the driving force behind this?
Well, I want to say the system is kind of the driving force right now. They're doing a really, really great job of maintaining possession and kind of pushing the pace. I think I'll go back to kind of what I said in the beginning, just that pressure that's coming from the back end and their ability to exit the zone and not allow opponents to sustain pressure in front of Carter Hutton and Linus Allmark has been a really, really, really important point, in my opinion. I mean, against Dallas today, you saw it firsthand. I mean, they just absolutely dominated possession in that game and they got rewarded for it. So, I don't know if it's any one singular player. I mean, a lot of those charts are focused on 5-on-5, but, you know, the power play has been a huge, huge boost as well. Victor Olofsson's emergence and Rasmus Dahlin replacing Rasmus Ristolainen on that first unit has been a big deal. So, yeah, I think everything is just kind of clicking right now. And even the smaller kind of peripheral concerns that the analytics guys have, just a lack of optimization in certain areas are just that peripheral, right? They're not a big deal because of how successful and how analytically sound the Sabres look right now.
Hmm. So that is it they're clicking, or is it that Jason Botterill and Ralph Krueger have designed something that is seeing success, or is it both?
Well, I think it's systemically based. I think Krueger is doing the best job I've seen a Buffalo head coach do in a very long time of optimizing his player's skill set and putting everyone in a position to succeed. I mean, here's a great example. Their de facto fourth line of Zemgus Girgensons, Johan Larsson, and Kyle Okposo, they were very, very sound analytically from a defensive standpoint, but really provided nothing in terms of offense. This year, they're pushing the pace. They have zone exit assets on the back end to help them kind of commission the rush a little bit. So they're being optimized as a group too. So it's, again, I think it just is from top to bottom, the coach is really putting his guys in a position to succeed and just taking advantage of their respective talents.
Well, it should be an interesting game. It is a back-to-back for Buffalo. So any predictions, like who are mm-hmm. we going to see, what we're going to see in the game? Do you think it'll be close, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, let's start in net. I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a toss-up. I think after the performance he had today, it'd be pretty tough to not play Hutton against Anaheim in that first game of the road trip. But if he does play against Anaheim, you'll probably see Linus Allmark against the Kings. So, and again, they're a little bit 50-50. I think it just kind of depends on the night they're having. But, you know, it's a little bit tough to predict. I mean, you know, I think everybody had the Sabres and Kings relatively similarly projected in terms of overall standings at the end of the year. Obviously, Buffalo's out to a little bit hot of a start. But, you know, I think if they can put together a strong performance against Anaheim and perhaps maybe not go to overtime or not have just an absolute physically killer of a game, they may be able to win on that back-to-back. But, it's really tough playing two games in two nights and especially on a Western Conference road trip. So you never know.
All right. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for joining me today and good luck to the Buffalo Sabres this season.
Yeah, Robin, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. You have a good one.